tell me when you first got involved with Don't Kill It.
I got involved about a week before we started shooting. Believe it or not. Mm. I had about 4 days to learn my lines. I think the whole thing went very quickly, as I'm sure like Mike has told people, but yeah, they got the financing pretty last minute, and then they were like, okay, let's do this before the end of the year. And then I auditioned for it and didn't hear anything until it was like after Thanksgiving, or it was like early December. And I thought I didn't get it. I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't get it. I knew they were going between a few different people.
Yeah.
And then I just got it, and I was like, okay. And then it was like, you're leaving to Mississippi, like, in a day and a half. And,
pack your bags.
You know, you're acting both Lundgren.
Yeah.
And learn your lines. So, it was cool, though. I mean, it didn't give me as much time to prepare as I normally like, but I think, you know, for the time I had, I'm happy with everything, and,
And
so, yeah, that's how I got involved. Yeah.
And was that challenge exciting at all, where you had to, you know, basically, you're a lead character in the film, you're the second lead to Dolph, so was that challenge exciting at all, where you had to act alongside this sort of, this action icon, and you sort of had to learn, take everything in and be prepared?
Yes, it was a huge challenge, and I was very nervous, actually, because I think Dolph is probably the biggest star that I've actually ever worked with. I mean, I was, you know, obviously in a movie with Malcolm McDowell, and I worked with Brad Dourif, but, you know, those are actors that we all know, but, you know, Dolph Lundgren is a star. I mean, everyone knows his face, so I was nervous. Yeah, it was almost the same feeling as working with Rob Zombie, I'd say. Like, they're both so iconic, you know, that you're kind of nervous the first time even meeting them. You know, you want them to like you, and you want to impress them, and, you know, and I know Dolph is not easily impressed.
Yeah.
So I felt a lot of pressure. But the good thing and the funny thing is, I, growing up in New York, used to go to a restaurant called Le Bill Bouquet, which was this French restaurant.
Yeah.
And I would go there, like, as a teenager, and, like, late teens, you know?
Yeah.
And he would go there. And I wasn't a big, like, I didn't watch a lot of TV or movies when I was growing up. I went to, like, theater and music and live stuff. But everybody would always be like, oh, look, that's Dolph Lundgren. And I was like, who's Dolph Lundgren? You know, as a teenager. And so they'd all be like, oh, you know, he's the star of, like, Rocky and all these action movies, or, you know. Anyway, he wasn't Rocky, but so when I got to set, I told him that story. I said, you know, as a teenager, I've actually been in the same restaurant with you. We used to go to the same place in New York. And it turns out, you know, so that kind of, I think, bonded us in terms of, like, you know, coming from having had similar experiences, right?
Yeah.
Like, he thought that was funny. And I think it's just crazy how life works that, you know, as a teenager, I saw him sitting in a restaurant, like, right across from me, and was like, who is that guy? And then, you know, suddenly I'm working with him, standing across from him, you know?
Yeah. You're like, oh, actors.
So, yeah, it was.
Not really impressed. You're just like, oh, I'm not really into movies, and then, you know, years later, you're in a movie with him.
Yes, exactly. And it was weird, because, I mean, I was always into theater. Like, I was always acting, but I never thought of acting in movies. I always thought I would be, like, on Broadway. You know, like, that was always my dream. And so, yeah, my life has definitely made, like, a huge, I'd say, U-turn in terms of, like, where I thought I was going and where I am. But I'm not complaining, believe me. I'm very happy and grateful.
Yeah. And what did you take from that experience working alongside him? Were there any tips or anything that he gave you, or sort of little habits that you saw he did that you sort of, like, looked at and thought, oh, that's interesting?
One thing I would say is, like, yeah, definitely being prepared working with somebody like that. Like, if you're not, I feel like you need to be on top of your game. That's very important. And trying to think, like, what kind of tips, or if I, he was very, because he's done so many movies, he was very technical in terms of knowing exactly, like, what he, like, he was very technical in his knowledge, right? And
yeah.
So, I mean, I think one time we were doing an action sequence, and he kind of helped me with the action stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. He was like, no, like, you need to, like, you know, right away jump out of the car and hold your gun up, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was kind of giving me, I'd say, yeah, I mean, he's teaching me about how to better do action stuff, which I think, obviously, he knows very well.
Yeah.
And it was more about, like, yeah, being realistic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, about what would you really do in that moment? Mm-hmm. Like, you would try to shoot the guy as fast as possible, or, like, you're not, like, holding your gun down, you're holding it up. And,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds basic, but, you know, sometimes you forget things when you're acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, I'm trying to think what else. There was a scene where we were in, like, a hotel room.
Yeah.
Where he always got very good lighting, I'll say that. He was, you know, and sometimes they spend more time lighting him, obviously, because he's the star.
Yeah.
And at one point he was like, you know, they're not lighting, either. You need more light on your face, you know? And I think he went and told them, like, to put a different light on my face or something. I thought that was actually kind of very thoughtful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's just, in terms of technical stuff like that, mm-hmm. he's, like, very specific and holds things to a very high standard, I'd say.
Yeah.
He did not teach me any martial arts or anything on set. Like, not... but...
No boxing?
I did get... No boxing. No, I would have thought. I mean, he probably would have. I love boxing, actually. Yeah. We didn't really have time to even. I mean, we were working the entire time,
yeah.
of, like, getting this movie even in the can.
Yeah.
He's cool. I mean, he's just, like, an icon, and, you know, I thought he was really funny during the whole on set and during the whole movie. Like, he was just. I thought it was a great part for him, and he was having fun.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that made me have fun, you know, made us all have fun.
Yeah. And, you know, being that you had such short notice, what was it like working with Mike on your character, and sort of, since you sort of had to work on the go, was it difficult, or was it fun to sort of craft this character, sort of, like, you're in the moment, which I think would be a good thing for your character, because she's thrown into this situation where she doesn't really understand what's going on. It's kind of a new world for her. So, was that at all helpful?
Yeah, I think so. I have this theory that everything in film and in the arts, like, happens for a reason. Like, like, every time something happens, like, I could complain and be like, "Oh, I didn't have enough time to prepare." Yeah. You know, I would have liked to do, you know, more physicality for the character, which is all stuff I would have liked to do.
Yeah.
But in a way, what you said worked out, because, yes, I was thrown into the moment, and I wasn't supposed to be as... like, I've obviously played a lot of very strong characters, more, like, character-y parts that are very powerful, and she was not that. She had to be second to Dolph, right? She had to be... So... In a way, it worked out, I think, that I had such little time. And Mike also didn't... I'd worked with him before, so thank God I knew him.
Yeah.
I felt comfortable working with him. That helped a lot. And I think Mike didn't even... We didn't. I mean, we talked a little bit about the character, but we really didn't even have that much time to go into... But he trusted me.
Yeah.
You know, he trusted me that I knew what I was doing, and I could do this part, and I could carry it. And I think that's a big... I think casting is a big thing in making a movie work, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you cast the right person, it'll work.
Yeah.
But if you cast the wrong person, you spend a lot of time trying to push them in the right direction, and that time that you could be doing other things.
Yeah, for sure. And you brought it up. I mean, trust is very important, especially with an actor and a director, sort of. Especially when you're working on such short notice and sort of that schedule. It's a lot of trust to sort of be like, okay, I'm going to you're both kind of taking chances and sort of need that shorthand to get what you need.
And Dolph had to trust me. He had never met me. Mm. You know, he didn't. I don't even think he knew my work. Like he, you know, there was another actress that I'm actually friends with. I'm not gonna say who it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, but she was in between her and I at the very end, and I think he actually wanted her.
Yeah.
So for him, it was like he had to get his second choice.
Yeah.
And this is a rumor. I have no idea if this is 100% true, but that's what I've heard. So for him, obviously, he had to learn how to trust that I was going to do the right job, and that's it. And so I just had to bring it.
Yeah.
But I think it worked out. Like, you know, I think he was actually very happy in the end. So.
Yeah.
And I hope that Mike
works
too.
Yeah, and the movie sort of like plays with several different genres and sort of has a light tone in its self-awareness. How fun was it to sort of play with these tones and sort of be in this world that is kind of like there are no rules in terms of what can happen?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question, because the tone of that movie is actually so specific, and a lot of it is so bigger than life.
Yeah.
That one of the good things I think about casting me is that I grounded it a little bit. Like, my character's not the most fun character. It's probably one of the most, like, you know, she's not the, like, she's no Annika and Frosty, okay?
Yeah.
Like, she's not, you know, she's kind of there to just ground the movie and bring, like, a natural element to it, because the whole tone of the movie is so kind of over the top.
Yeah, it doesn't get more straight than an FBI agent.
Yes, exactly. And it was hard for me sometimes, because of course, like, I want to be doing the crazy stuff that Dolph is doing, like, you know, and yet I know that my job in this movie is to be the straight person.
Yeah.
You know, and so if I had played it like bigger or more like comedic or over the top, it would have, I think, messed up the movie, honestly. You know, so yeah, the tone was interesting. It was interesting to be in a world where the tone was so over the top and fun and crazy and ridiculous, and then but still have to play the more grounded character.
Yeah, I think with your character and performance, it works just because you do work as sort of the eyes of the audience. You're sort of taking in all this information as the audience is, you know, when you learn about something, the audience is learning about something for the first time. So I think it really does work in the way you played it too.
Right. That's a great way to put it. So yeah, I mean, in the end, I'm happy, and I hope everybody has fun. I hope everybody goes to see it in the theater, because it's such a fun movie to see, like, with an audience, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those movies that has, like, those oohs and ahs, especially when things are kind of, like, heads are blowing up and stuff like that. You kind of, like, take a back and stuff. It's not one of those... I had to watch it on a screener, so I didn't get that experience. But I do, like, there were moments where I'm just like, oh, wow. Did not see that coming.
Yeah. It's fun like that. I mean, you know... Again, you always wish that you have more time to do a movie, and there's always stuff that, like, you know, you go back and you're like, personally, like, I'm so critical of, like, the way I look at some scenes, but that's what I feel, right? That's just me as an actress being, like, you know, ridiculous, but, so, you know, you say, ah, fuck, like, if only I, you know, asked them to do my hair differently, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's the stupid thing that, like, I look at. We have more time to do, you know, but in the end, it's really about if people have fun, or nobody's going to be looking at anyone's hair, or hopefully they're not. I mean, then they're not watching the movie. So.
What did you learn from this role that you like to take on your next role, whether it be film or theater?
That's a good question. I'm actually starting to shoot the lead in a movie on Sunday, so, and it's also very, it's a low budget and a very difficult role.
Yeah.
So I guess what I would take is the ability to work under pressure and in a very low budget environment and still bring a performance that you would bring if you had 4 months to shoot it. Like, yeah. I think that's the skill, is actually to be able to process stuff so quickly and be able to turn it around and perform so quickly under pressure. It's a really daunting task. It's very scary as an actor because, you know, you're putting yourself out there for the whole world to possibly criticize and not like, but you just hope that, you know, that if you do your best job and work hard, that they'll be, that, you know, people will enjoy watching it or find something that they learn from that character, or, you know, or somehow are brought into the world of the role that you're playing. So that's something I definitely think, like, working in such a tight, you know, budget and such under, like, pressure.
I think it also gives you an idea of, like, how everything works. It's kind of good to work in those kind of environments to sort of, it kind of builds, it's almost like going through an experience together, because you're on set almost every day. It's a short schedule, so you guys all kind of see each other every day, you know everyone on the team, so it kind of, you're kind of all very much invested in it.
I think, like, one thing that probably helped me a lot in that environment is I went to NYU for directing. I went to the grad program, and I actually noticed on your site that you guys do stuff with wrestling. But my DDP was in my short, actually, Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, that's good.
He agreed to be in it, and it ended up going into competition at, like, Stitches and stuff, and he was so good in it. He needs to become a very good friend. I love him. But yeah, because of that low budget, because I'm used to being on the other side of such low budget stuff, and I'm not even talking low budget, but, like, fast shoots where you need to get a lot of stuff done, and, you know, that I have empathy for that situation.
Sure. And, you know, just to let you go, last question. You know, you talked about your directing experience, and is that sort of a goal for you to sort of, you know, direct your own work and sort of, and be in it as well?
It's definitely my goal to direct. Not sure if, I would never, unless I had a ton of money, act in a movie that I direct. Like, I would do that if I had, like, $1 million and the best team around me, right?
Yeah.
But that's so hard to direct and act in the same movie. But I do want to direct. I'm working on getting a script done that I hope I could start shooting, you know, in a year or something. So that would be exciting. I'd obviously love to direct TV, but you have to have done a feature or something before you get into that. So it is hard out here, though. Business is, no matter what, it's very male driven, and I never even believed that until I started directing, actually.
Yeah.
Because I never was confronted with it. It's hard. It's definitely like an old boys kind of, they don't even notice it. It's like a subconscious thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't even.
Yeah, people don't even realize it, and I think more recently people have started to question it, and hopefully some bigger movies like Wonder Woman and A Wrinkle in Time do really well, where it can sort of, because I think that's what really the business really responds to. It's a business, so when things start making money, that's when it's a thing. You know, that's the same thing with, I think, with diversity in TV, is like when a show becomes a hit, it's like, okay, let's get more actors like this into that.
You're right. Yeah. It's exactly that. It's 100%, like, and I think because people are so scared about doing something different, because they're scared they're going to lose money, that's why they don't change the system.
Yeah.
Because they're sort of a risk, or they're taking a chance. And I think you're right. The minute that more, you know, female-directed movies make money, then there's not even going to be a question anymore. But, I'm always just shocked when I hear, like, there was, like, a Netflix show that a friend of mine was producing, and he was like, it's like all about African American women. And he was like, yeah, we were looking for an African American woman to direct, but we just can't find one. I was like, you are going to kill me right now. I was like, I am going to write to NYU, like on our listserv, and I will give you I will give you 20 names of qualified African American women who would die to do this and who directed features that have gone to Sundance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you cannot tell me that one of these 20 people is not available or fitting for this job.
Yeah.
And I have no idea who they ended up hiring, but I did what I felt I needed to do. I gave them names.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not going to take that as an answer.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, you know, that's very true, because you see, like, a lot of blockbusters, you see these directors that directed one indie movie go on to direct these $200 million movies, which in most cases would be considered a risk. And then, you know, you don't see a lot of women directing $30 million movies or even having their own series and stuff like that. So, again, I think it's what it's going to take is some major shift in money, because, again, people... their jobs are on the line too, so they always go with what's safe and what they know.
Right.
And I think that's been sort of handcuffing sort of, you know, females in sort of these creative roles in outside of being an actress, you know, writers, directors, producers, studio heads, you know.
Yeah.
And I think once they look at it as something financially viable, I think that's when change usually happens.
Yeah, you're right. And it takes a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it takes, you know, the evolution. Mm. You know, it's like, it's a whole other generation of people that need to, like, start, you know, that are building upon that and building upon that. So, well, I think we have hope in the future, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Somehow it'll work out.
Yeah, hopefully in a year you'll have your project on the ground, taking it to festivals and stuff like that. And hopefully studio heads will be looking for, you know, the next indie director that is a female to direct their big projects. You know what I mean?
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
There are so many deserving, you know, female directors out there. I mean, that's... So, yeah, I think, and I'm one of them, so hopefully, you're right. Next year, this time, I'll have done that.
Yeah.
Definitely one of my goals for the next, like, next